If you were, or if you are on the church mailing list, or were here last Sunday, you know that we began our annual stewardship emphasis, Changing Lives, which will culminate on Pledge Dedication Sunday, November 12th. Last Sunday, we set the foundation, noting that one of the ways we describe the church is as the forgiven community. In God's activity in Jesus Christ on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we are set free to worship and serve God. Being forgiven gives us the freedom to let go of things that hold us back, like guilt. Being forgiven gives us the freedom to take hold of the things that lift us up so we can reach out and lift others up. Being forgiven fills our hearts and we are grateful. We are spiritually strengthened for living, even thriving, amidst life's challenges. Now, several things follow from the result of being a forgiven community. Things that we learn from Scripture, that we learn from Jesus. One of them is that we are connected one to the other. And this connected community, the church, has as its distinguishing marks things such as care for one another, eating together, worshiping together, praying together, those things the early church did. In other words, as forgiven children of God, we connect with and care for each other. In that sense, we are the or a connected community. And then we lose ourselves in serving others, becoming a serving community. Our focus this morning and is on the connected community, and next Sunday for that matter, this morning through sermon, and next Sunday through insert Minute for Ministry and video. In subsequent Sundays, we will focus on the church as a serving community leading up to November 12th. Well, the Apostle Paul has provided us with what is probably the most enduring image of the church today, that of the church as the body of Christ. Paul draws for us the picture of a body which, though having many members, is still one body. Though parts of the body have different functions and are blessed with different gifts, the body itself is one body. I'm not going to read all the verses in 1 Corinthians. We'll read 12. I'll read selected verses from verses 4 through 31. Paul writes, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." He draws this analogy to the absurd, doesn't he? "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but whenever I read this passage, I find myself thinking about that song, Them Bones. You know, the one that goes, the toe bone's connected to the foot bone's connected. Well, I tell you what, instead of me singing it to you, I have an old friend I think most of you will recognize. Maybe you'll sing it to us. I had fun finding that this week. As Dr. Frankenstein put Herman Munster together, I love that, the neck bone is bolted to the head bone, did you get that? So God has put the church together as a connected community. We function the most faithfully and effectively when we realize and honor that interconnectedness, that dependence on one another. In The Evolution of Humanity, A History of Interconnectedness, author Jamie Anaya notes, interconnectedness between human beings is most closely or clearly seen today in the form of modern communications technologies, the internet, social networks, the newest cell phones with the greatest global reception. We are all inevitably connected to each other in this modern age. But is this an outward sign of something much more fundamental in us? Is our contemporary wired and wireless technology an extension of a more primordial aspect of our innate human nature? A selection of key events in our history where people struggled and fought to gain greater integration and interconnectedness helps us recognize that this is more than simply a social phenomenon. This is a defining quality of our humanity. And Anaya goes on to trace some of those key points in human history and notes that it is when human beings deny or debase our interconnectedness that conflict, war, oppression, abuse, bigotry and other negative things occur. The Apostle Paul knows about connectedness, about connection, and how important it is. Paul also understands the human body and how it is most effective when all parts of the body are working together. So Paul uses the analogy of a body for the church because it is a fitting description of the church and quite a contrast to how the Corinthians themselves were apparently behaving. The diversity and yet unity of the body is something that is easily recognized. The body has all sorts of parts: arms, legs, hands, feet, waist, chest, toes, eyes, ears, you know it. Yet all of the parts come together, make up one entity, the body. And Paul asserts that the church is the body of Christ. It is one entity, one body, with Christ as the head, yet it is made up of many different people with different gifts. Just as the head is not attached where the feet are located, so the people who make up the church live in different places. Just as each body part serves a different function, the eye does not do what the ear does, and vice versa, so God gives to you and to me different gifts to fulfill different functions. And just as you can most likely do more with one hand than the other, unless you are truly ambidextrous, so God gives different ministries and different abilities to the saints that make up the body of Christ, the church. And then Paul goes on to reference what I would consider to be the most important part of this analogy, at least for our purposes this morning, and connectivity. The apostle explains in verse 26 that we are all in this together. That's basically what he said. We are all in this together. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Connection. Let's face it, if you stub your toe, smash your finger, or have a roaring toothache, the rest of your body is caught up with the suffering of the pain coming from that one part. If your legs carry you across the finish line first and you win the race, the rest of your body is honored along with your fast feet or fast legs. And the same is true in the church. We are all knit together. What I do affects you, and what you do affects me, and what you do affects each other. Each person in the body helps hold the whole body together, and the proper working of every person in the body, according to their gifts, ministries, and abilities, causes the growth of the whole body, causes the health and wholeness of the whole body. In other places, Paul includes quite a few responsibilities we have towards each other as we are connected to one another, including being devoted to one another in mutual love, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, being humble rather than haughty. In other words, we are connected. And one of the challenges we face as a congregation, as the church in general, is to mesh the gifts that are present amongst us into something that represents, yes, represents the body of Christ, something that looks like, acts like Christ looked and acted, lived and loved during his time on earth. We won't be perfect. We'll still go off on tangents and irritate each other and argue with each other. We're still going to have differences of opinions based on a variety of factors. But our challenge is to honor the thread that ties it all together. The one who is in fact the head of the church, even Jesus Christ. And in claiming Jesus as Lord, as the head of the church, I mean we continually seek, as Paul says, to grow into Christ. That is, to become more and more like Christ, to live more and more like Christ did during his time on earth. And when we do that, when we recognize that our connectedness has eternal ramifications, we realize that our connectedness is what makes humanity so unique. As Dr. Frankenstein put Herman Munster together, so God put the church together as a connected community. The role the church plays in the world and in our communities is of ultimate importance. We are the body of Christ, called to serve, to teach, to educate, to join in fellowship, to care for one another, to seek in our personal lives to discern the will of God, to give of our time, talents, and financial resources in supporting the ministries of this congregation. In other words, we are a connected community. And in a connected community, everyone has a place. Everyone has a part. Even you, even me. Let us pray. Oh God, as the body of Christ, first help us to plug into the source that is you in Jesus Christ. that we might find strength and guidance. And then let us be reminded that we are connected to each other, that as we all go, as one of us goes, so all of us go. Help us to remember that we are connected to each other through you. In Jesus' name, amen.